The Apostle Paul wrote these words to the church at Philippi that I'm going to read to you in just a moment. But I wanted to kind of give you a little information about Philippi itself, because this was a Roman colony that was founded by Augustus. And this was Augustus Caesar. Now, the position of this city on the main road from Rome to Asia, the Via and Egnatia, made it strategically important. And the fertile plain of Philippi was the battlefield between Mark Antony and Octavian, later known as Augustus Caesar, and Brutus and Cassius. You all have heard of them, you know, about Julius Caesar and his assassination and all of these things. And his adopted son, Octavian, became later known as Augustus Caesar. And this was the Augustus Caesar that was alive at the time, where it says he called all the people to be taxed. And so this had a very important position in where it was located. And Paul and Silas were later imprisoned in this city on their second missionary journey, which you can read about in Acts chapter 16 as they made this trip. But Paul wrote to this group of people in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let's read that one more time. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. On Resurrection Sunday, or as many call it Easter Sunday, we as Christians celebrated the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the one who came to give his life as a sacrifice for the atonement of our sins. The prophet Isaiah wrote in chapter 53 of his book, the prophecies that he gave, much about the Messiah that was to come. But in verse 8 of chapter 53, he wrote these things. After forcibly arrest and sentencing, he was taken away, and none of his generation protested his being cut off from the land of the living for the crimes of my people who deserved the punishment themselves. Jesus was arrested, he was crucified, put to death for the crimes that he did not commit. The crimes of the people that we could have forgiveness of our sins, that we could have life. So he gave his life that we would have redemption from our sins. Jesus himself spoke these words that we find in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And we as Christians today are not called to be served. Although there's some out there that seem to think that's the way it is, that if they become a Christian, everything should just start coming to them on a silver platter. But we are called as Christians to a life of service. And all of our life, our days upon this earth, we are to be serving God. And we are to be reaching out to those who do not know Yeshua as the Messiah. We are to reach out with them to the gospel, letting them know of what Jesus has done for them on the cross of Calvary. John chapter 15, verse 13 reads, no one has greater love than a person who lays down his life for his friends. And sometimes as Christians, you may be called upon to pay that sacrifice, to lay down your life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Mary was mentioning earlier at the beginning of the service about the pastor in whatever country it was, that they came to his home at night and shot him 8 times. He laid down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are many others who were there that might possibly, and probably some have already, laid down their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It goes on. Looking back to the early church, all of the apostles, and I was reading an interesting thing, how many apostles were there? Well, one person mouthed the answer to me there. There were many. It's just there are certain ones that are recorded in the scripture, but there were many. But of those that are recorded in Scripture, that's the only ones we want to deal with right here at the moment. Of the ones recorded in Scripture, all but one. I should say really two, because one, Judas, who hanged himself. But his replacement, Matthias, all but one of those laid down their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only exception was John, who wrote the book of Revelation. And God had a plan for him, that he let him live to that, what was then a long life, that God could get this message out to the world of what he has in store. But they were willing to lay down their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle wrote in Hebrews chapter 11 what many of us in the church refer to as the Gospel Hall of Fame. About these folks from the times of the Old Testament up to the day that Paul was living in. And how many of them had made sacrifices and how they had faith. For example, Abraham, when he was known as Abram, left his home simply with the instructions, go and I'll take you to a place. And we are told later on, Abraham was looking for a city that was not built with earthly hands, but that was made by the hands of God. And we as Christians today are still seeking that same city, not one that was built with earthly hands, but one that was built by the hands of God. And one of these days we're going to see that city. But as Paul writes about these folks, he gets on toward the end of the chapter. And in verses 34 through 40, he writes this about some of the folks. Quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, had their weaknesses turned to strength, grew mighty in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, resurrected. Other people were stretched on the rack and beaten to death, refusing to be ransomed so that they would gain a better resurrection. Others underwent the trials of being mocked and whipped, then chained and imprisoned. They were stoned, sawed in two, murdered by the sword. They went about clothed in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. And I want to stop right there because that flies right in the face of some of the gospel that's being preached today. Some of this prosperity gospel is being preached today that you're not really a child of God. You're not really serving God if you aren't rich. If money isn't just flowing into you. That is not what the Word of God says that some of the people of God went through. It says they were destitute. Because we are not seeking what God, what man has to offer us. We are not seeking the treasures of this earth. The Bible tells us as children of God, we are laying up our treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust can decay it or corrupt it. We are looking for a better reward. So this is what some of them went through. Let's continue on here. Wandering about in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. The world, listen to this now, the world was not worthy of them. This is what Paul the Apostle writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. These who were put through this and their stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the world was not worthy of them. All of these have their merit attesting because of their trusting. Nevertheless, they did not receive what had been promised, because God had planned something better that would involve us, so that only with us would they be brought to that goal. The promises of God have not yet completely been fulfilled in our lives, and we are looking for the day to come that those promises will be fulfilled and God will keep His word. You know, sometimes man lets us down. Man can sometimes, in all good intentions, promise to do something and let us down. But God never lets us down. Well, have you got the message yet? As Christians, it's not always going to be an easy road. Being a Christian, a follower of the Messiah, we were never promised it would be easy. And I've heard people talk about Christianity being a bed of roses or not being a bed of roses. But I've always said it is a bed of roses, because every rose bed I've ever seen had something called a thorn. And if you weren't careful, you'd get stuck with those thorns. And that's life. Our Christianity is the best thing there is. But there's going to be some thorns that come into our lives once in a while. But being a Christian is the most beautiful, most fantastic thing that this earth has, is those that are Christians. I found a U.S. Marine Corps recruiting poster on the internet yesterday, and it read, "Tough and proud of it." And there's an old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. But I want to read that to you again, and I want to just put what these words really mean here. When the going gets tough, when the going gets hard, the strong, the tough, the strong will get going. And that's what God expects of us as Christians. When it gets tough out there, when it gets hard out there, He will give us the strength to carry on and to do and fulfill the mission that He has called us to do. And no, He didn't call every one of us to fulfill the same mission. He called each one of us to a different purpose in life. And if we do our best, and we do our best to serve God to fulfill that mission that He has called us to, that's what He expects of us. He doesn't expect you to be somebody He didn't call you to be. And too many times today we try to be somebody else and not what God called us to be. I want to share some things with you about when the going gets tough. This was from Charisma News and occurred. These are events that occurred in the past 10 days. Pakistan isn't exactly known as a hub for mega churches. Listen to this. Yet a $3.8 million three-story church that seats 5,000 people has emerged in Islamabadsi, a suburb of Karachi. There were so many people here, it was not possible for us to accommodate them on Sundays, Father Saleha Diego of St. Peter's of Karachi told the Associated Press. And I want to stop there just a moment. I have seen sometimes Christians here in America, especially Pentecostal Christians, kind of look down their nose sometimes at Catholics. But there's some Catholics out there that have got the goods. And there are some Catholics out there that are spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's a Catholic church in Karachi, Pakistan that is spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people are coming out when they know it is not the popular thing, because they want what God has to offer to them in their lives. This Catholic congregation will need strong faith to worship in a Muslim-dominated country that is especially hostile toward Christians. Pakistan's Christians make up about 2.5% in a country of 176.7 million people. Yet Pakistan rates number 10 on Open Doors 2012 World Watch as the list of the world's worst persecutors of Christians. Death threats are routine for church leaders. Beatings are common, and damage to church property is a monthly reality in Pakistan. But the Holy Spirit has set apart Hazam Batsi as a safe haven for believers, if there is such a thing in Pakistan. The Karachi suburb, home to about 15,000, is a community with more than 500 Christian families, dozens of churches, and a minority of peace-loving Muslims. God has a place for His people. God will watch over His people. Samuel George, senior pastor of the Philadelphia Pentecostal Church in Hazam Batsi, says, there are churches that have been built here recently that can house 2,000 or 3,000 people. There are also small churches and cell groups. This is our model in Karachi. My father started in 1963 with small prayer groups throughout the city, and these prayer groups grew into small congregations, and those small congregations became big churches. He goes on to say, Philadelphia Pentecostal Church has 42 pastors and evangelists in Karachi, believed to be the largest Muslim city in the world, and yet almost 50 of the more dangerous in the Punjab area. The church has a Bible college that will soon graduate more pastors who will start churches across Pakistan. Pastor George goes on to say he realizes that some spirit-filled believers will be falsely accused of blasphemy against the Islamic prophet Muhammad for sharing their faith. Others are concerned far worse persecution lies ahead. As a Pakistani Christian, defending your faith puts you at being risk of shot like a dog. That's what it takes to be a Christian in Pakistan. Pakistani Christians are refusing to shrink back in the face of torture or even death. And it goes on with some more there. Turkey. Religious freedom slides. Anti-Christian hostility. Pikler, of Agape Church in Samsun, lives in the Black Sea region, a bastion of Turkey's unique Islamic endued nationalism, where Christians live under increasing pressure. Explosion at a revival center in Kenya kills two people. An 8-year-old boy and a lady were killed when someone threw a grenade into a Christian revival meeting near Kenya's coastal town of Mombasa, instantly killing the woman and injuring 30 other people. Well, I know some people are going to, listening to me today, are going to say, well, yeah, but this is going on in other countries. This is somewhere else. But I got news for you folks. It's happening here in America just as well. We just don't hear as much about it. April 2nd, 2012, Oikos University in Oakland, California, which offers educational programs in the area of religious studies, music, and vocational nursing, a disgruntled student opened fire, killing 7 and wounding many others. Now, this is a Christian-based college. I looked them up on their website last night and read their statement of faith. It is a very Christian-based educational center. Yet a former student comes in and kills 7 people, wounding many others. 2007, a gunman opened fire at a youth with a mission training center for missionaries in Denver. And this occurred at New Life Church in Colorado Springs. Why? Because he'd been kicked out of the program. Lakeland, Florida. Derek Foster was kneeling in prayer when the gunman burst through the front doors of Greater Faith Christian Center. He heard shooting, then screams. Former church member is accused of critically wounding the church's pastor, associate pastor, and as close to 20 people as they prayed between Sunday services. Authorities and relatives say Jeremiah Fogle shot his wife to death at his house where he had started his own church before continuing the rampage a block away at Greater Faith. And the sad part about this is in each case, it was a former member or a student, former student, that did this. But if you watch your newspaper and you listen to the news, you're hearing more and more about churches being attacked. I don't know how many of you here watch John Hagee on Sunday mornings or sometime through the week as their services are televised. But you always notice sometimes in one of the long shots, you see a guy standing up by the edge of the platform all the time. He's not there for looks. He's there to try and help protect because threats are made. Violence is being carried out in churches today here in America. I get things ever so often in the mail inviting me to seminars on how to protect your church. How to have armed guards in your church. And believe me, there are a lot, especially of the larger churches, that have that today. An armed guard in their service. Because they have no idea what kind of demonically inspired person is going to come through their front doors and start shooting. One of my aunts used to talk about one of her greatest fears would be the day that people would be sitting in church and gunmen would come in and just start shooting. She didn't live to see that happen, but it happens now. And it's happening more and more consistently. We as Christians in America in the not too distant future may be put in the position that we will have to possibly lay down our lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes I wonder about the churches in America and the Christians in America. Are we spiritually strong enough? There's a pastor, and again, I believe it's Pakistan, that is standing awaiting trial for blasphemy and other false charges that have been trumped up against him. And he has been told time and time and time again over the last couple of months, if you'll just renounce your belief, we'll let you go. And you know what? I believe they would. I believe they'd let him go because they'd want to make that point. If you were standing there and you knew at any moment they could come in and shoot you or cut your head off, and somebody came along and said, well, if you'll just bow down to this, we'll let you go. Will we as Christians in America be strong enough to face that challenge? It's something we'd better start thinking about. Are we strong enough? Are we just lackadaisical, go to church when we feel like it Christians? Are we strong, committed Christians who believe that we are here to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and do what it takes to do it? Here's what Jesus himself had to say. John chapter 3, verse 15. Oh, we're all familiar with John 3, 16. We don't read a lot of the verse before it. A lot of people couldn't tell you what that one even says. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's 15. That comes before God so loved the world. We believe in him. We will not perish. They may kill this physical body. They may chop off this physical head, but the life force that is in here, if we have given our hearts and body and lives to Jesus Christ, that life goes on and in eternity with Jesus. It doesn't create an end, it only creates a beginning. Jesus also spoke these words in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 28. My sheep listen to my voice. I recognize them. They follow me. and I give them eternal life. They will absolutely never be destroyed, and no one will snatch them from my hands. I got news. If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, if you've given your life to Him, He's holding you in His hands. And the devil and every demon he has with him can never take you out of God's hand. The only way you ever get out of His hand is you say, I want out. And you have to willingly, deliberately get up and walk away. The devil can't take you out of God's hand. Persecution can't take you out of God's hand if we'll hang in there. John chapter 12, verse 25 goes on to read, He who loves his life loses it. But he who hates his life in this world will keep it safe right on into eternal life. In other words, if we're not worried, we're not so concerned about maintaining our life, this life that we have here, over what we need to do for the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we say, God, I'll do what it takes to follow you, He's got you. He's got you covered. But if we do our best to maintain our life and say, oh, I can't do that because, you know, they might... That's when we're going to get in trouble. And too much today, the church that calls us the Church of Jesus Christ has come to the point that we are too concerned about being politically correct. We don't want to offend people. Let's lay something smooth and easy on them. I got news. Read your Bible. Jesus offended a whole bunch of people. Everywhere he went, just about, somebody got offended. And if we are standing up for God and for the things of God, we are going to be offensive to the world. It's just plain and simple. The two don't agree. They never will agree. So if you're living a Christian life and you're doing your best to serve God, don't try to be politically correct, because you're going to offend somebody somewhere, because they're not going to like it. John 17:3 says, "And eternal life is this, to know you, the one true God, and Him who sent you, Yeshua the Messiah." Knowing Jesus as Lord in our life. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And that's what brings us eternal life in the presence of God. That's the life. That's the life that we as Christians want to live. Knowing that someday, no matter what this world throws against us, we will be standing, basking in the presence and the glory of God for eternity. Isn't that something great? Yeah, the devil doesn't like it. And I got news. You know, I see things all the time. Well, devil, read the back of the book, we win. He already knows that. He already knows that he's losing. But that doesn't keep him from trying. But if we keep it in mind, we win. We win. They always talk about sometimes to win the big battle, you got to lose a few small skirmishes out there. And there may be times that sometimes the devil knocks us down and it seems like we're almost out. But if we hang in there, we have won, because Jesus is on our side. He is the one that is holding on to us. He is our support system. He's the one that's got our back. He's the one that's watching out for us. He's on our side. And maybe you're listening to me today by other means, through the internet or by CD or some other type means today. And maybe, first of all, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Well, now's the time. Now's the time to ask Him to come into your life and say, Jesus, I surrender, I give up, I give my life to You. Come in now and take control and charge of my life. And let the Holy Spirit guide me and direct me in Your ways. And I realize there are some people that might possibly be listening to this message today that don't have access to some of the things that we have here in America as far as going to church. But I've got news for you. If you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will guide you. Even when you've got no one else there to teach you, the Holy Spirit of God will guide you. And He will direct you. Or maybe you're listening to me today and your Christianity's been a little bit weak. Your relationship with God's been a little frail. Now's the time to get tough in that relationship. Get strong in that relationship. Get hardened in that relationship. And say, devil, I don't care what the world throws against me. Jesus is on my side. He's looking out for me. And yeah, devil, you can take my life, but you're only sending me to a better place. You're only sending me to a better place. And Father, right now, I pray for those that are here, those that listen to this message throughout the world today, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts. Some are Christians that are suffering, Father, and they just need comfort. Others may have never made that decision. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to them today. And Father, some just need to strengthen their relationship with You. And I pray that they would make that commitment today. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.